Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording. Okay, so we said that the unwise parents are the one who don't punish you if you do something wrong. You might think they love you, but no. Kids, what they do is they test the system. Like they test how their parents will react to a bad deed, a wrongdoing.
I don't.
So if they let them, if they get away with it, then they keep doing what? Worse and worse. A wise father, this is for an unwise father, our unwise parents. Can you tell me what would the wise parents do?
Punish them.
Huh? Hands?
Beat them.
Hands?
Spoil them.
Huh? What would the wise parents do?
Shoot.
Huh? What wise people, wise parents would do what?
Tell him that
when their child made a wrong doing. Huh?
Go to the Apple Store.
Correct them. Yes. What if he is not corrected?
He'll keep on being bad until he dies.
So he gets punished. So, you know, you go first. The first step is to correct. And the second step is to punish. When they punish you, is it mercy? Is it a good thing that you're punished?
No.
Well, from your point of view, it's not a good thing. But from the point of view of the society, when you're punished, you become disciplined, and you become a person. A decent person in the society. You got it? You got this? So Allah is at the web, means that Allah does that. Allah gives you a chance at the beginning, and if you don't repent, then Allah will punish you. I'll give you an example of a bird at the time of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. There was a bird, and this bird, Allah created this bird to hunt for food. But this bird is too lazy. He used to attack. He used to steal food from people who are barbecuing or something like that. So one time, there are people who are barbecuing. And here is this. And he stole the meat from the barbecue, from the barbecue grill. He stole meat from the grill. And then the meat that he stole, it had a charcoal attached to it. Charcoal.
A piece of burning charcoal is called an ember.
Ember?
Ember.
E-M-B-E-R. Ember. And it has ember in it. So what happened is that the bird flew back to his children, to his nest, to feed his children. What? Guess what happened?
The children died.
The charcoal set the burning charcoal set
the nest on fire.
Made the nest on fire. So the nest became on fire, and all his kids, all the bird's kids died. They burned. So he went crying to Prophet Sulaiman. So guess, you know, who was the prophet that talked to animals and birds? And
Sulaiman.
So he went to Prophet Sulaiman and he told him, didn't you tell us that Allah gives us a chance before to correct ourselves, before punishing us? So Prophet Sulaiman said, yes. He said, look at what happened to me. Look what happened to me. I just stole the meat and the nest got burned. So Allah didn't give me a chance to correct myself. Okay? The bird rebelled against the nature of Allah. He rejected that. He stole meat instead of hunting for me. So Prophet Sulaiman said, okay, as far as Allah giving you a chance to repent before punishing you, as far as this is concerned, I'm sure this is true. But your story, I don't know your story. I don't know the beginning. I don't know the end. So I can't tell. I can't tell. So Allah revealed to Prophet Sulaiman to tell the bird that this punishment, which is burning his neck, nest, and kids, this punishment is not for this meat that he stole on the same day. No, it was for a previous sin that he did not repent from. A previous sin. So the sin of stealing the barbecue, stealing the meat, okay, is to be punished. You will be punished for it later. You got it? So what did you understand?
The previous sin was to be punished for late.
For late, yeah. So Allah gives you a chance first to correct yourself. I'm saying most likely, you know, there are exceptions. But Allah gives you a chance to correct yourself. And if you decide not to correct yourself, then He starts punishing you. And this, the web, Allah punishes those good people. How about bad people? Bad people, Allah may give them a taste of punishment. Just a taste of punishment. But the real punishment is where? The real punishment is in hellfire. Also, believers get a taste of reward. A taste of reward, but the real reward is where? In the Jannah. Okay? So Allah will sometimes make people, bad guys, taste the taste a punishment or get a taste the punishment so that they may consider and they may stop what they are doing, the wrong things that they are doing. So Allah wants the good people to repent. So Allah gives them a taste of punishment. Like a slap on the wrist. Sometimes people don't repent. Okay? It's not enough punishment for them. Then Allah gives them a harder, more painful punishment. More painful, a taste of punishment. The accurate word is taste of punishment. Because punishment is in hell. If Allah does not do that to a person, then Allah, if a person is doing wrong and Allah is increasing the opportunity for him or her to do more wrong, then this person is bad person because Allah plans, okay, have plans for him. Again, this is the norm or the default case. There are exceptions. It's not always 100% right, okay, that Allah will not punish the bad guys so that at the end they go to the worst place in hellfire. Now, Allah, tell me about a sin that's bigger than Allah's forgiveness.
Shirk.
Shirk? Huh?
Killing.
Disobeying
parents. Suicide.
Disobeying parents.
Huh?
Suicide. Okay? All what you said. All what you said are sins that are forgivable by Allah. So the forgiveness of Allah is bigger than all the sins you mentioned. If you repent, there is nothing. Allah's forgiveness is infinite. Allah's forgiveness is
infinite.
Infinite. So there is no sin that can exceed the forgiveness of Allah. But with what? Repentance. What if you forget to repent?
And then you die.
What if you forget to repent? Hello. Then there are two cases if you forget to repent. The first case is doing shirk. And the second case is doing sins. Okay? Shirk or sins. If you're doing shirk and you don't repent, forget it. Allah does not forgive this particular sin without repentance. If you do other bad deeds, and you forget to make istighfar or ask for forgiveness, Allah will forgive, Allah may forgive you, even though if you don't make a mistake, even though you have made a mistake. So bottom line, the forgiveness of Allah is bigger or equal or smaller to the worst sin you can imagine. Huh?
Bigger.
Huh? Bigger. That's right. Now, if what happens if you do it again and ask for forgiveness? Would Allah forgive you?
No.
Yes. What if you do it third time after you ask for forgiveness?
Yes.
What if you do it first time you ask for forgiveness, second time you ask for forgiveness, third time you ask for forgiveness, fourth time you ask for forgiveness?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Now tell me, when would Allah stop accepting your repentance?
When you do it on purpose and then say, oh, he'll forgive me, or just say, oh,
wrong.
When the sun rises from the...
No. That's a different story. In this life, when does Allah stop forgiving you? Huh?
When you...
No.
When you don't mean...
No, I'm so good.
No.
You don't ask for it?
Yes. Exactly. He said, when you stop asking for repentance, asking for forgiveness. So you stop asking for forgiveness, then Allah will not, most likely Allah will not forgive you. So if you've done a mistake, keep repenting, keep asking for forgiveness, and keep, if you do it again, keep asking for forgiveness. Allah will keep forgiving you when you stop, until you stop asking for forgiveness. Okay. So Allah gives you a punishment to wake up and correct yourself. Now let's talk about two kinds of teachers. Two kinds of teachers. The first kind of teacher is a teacher that gives you... Okay, I'm going to basically compare this teacher to Allah. Okay? So imagine that there is a teacher. It's a metaphor.
Okay.
And this teacher gives you the homework, the textbook, at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the semester. At the beginning of what?
Semester.
And then he tells you, here are the lectures, here is the homework, and here is everything you need, and I'm going to test you at the end of the semester.
College.
Huh? Okay. Then, if you flunk, then he says, I gave you everything you need. Okay? I gave you everything you need. So, in this case, this teacher is just or unjust? Fair or not fair?
Fair.
Fair. No, fair.
Fair.
He gave you everything at the beginning of the year?
That's not fair.
The beginning of the semester?
Did the teacher teach?
Yes, he taught them. Okay?
Oh, that's fair.
He kept teaching until the end of the semester. Those who are doing bad, the teacher doesn't care. The teacher only tells you, okay, here are the lectures, here are the homework, here's everything, and I'm going to test you at the end of the semester. So, is this teacher fair?
Yes.
Yes, he's fair. However, on the other hand, is he tawab?
No.
No, not tawab. So, what would be... What would this teacher have to do to become tawwab? Huh?
Forgive the students for messing
no.
up.
Huh?
Give them another chance.
No.
You would have to help the people that are doing bad.
Giving what?
Let him do it again.
He would have to help the people that are doing bad in the class.
You're getting very close.
To be tawwab, you have to... Well, let me try again.
Quiz?
Help everyone?
No, it's one life only. Huh?
Then we take it?
Huh? Okay. In order to be a tawwab,
make the test make them mess up, not count.
In order for to be a Tawab teacher, the Tawab teacher will follow up with you. It's not going to just give you the stuff and leave you alone. No, he follows up with you. Okay, your performance in class. It's first day. Your performance in class is not good. Then he talks to you. Okay? Then if you can insist on doing the bad thing, then he calls your parents. And then he keeps, if you still keep doing the bad thing, then he will give you detention. Okay? You understand? So he's following up with you. He's following up with you. Okay? He's following up with you. He's not just giving you the stuff and say, I'll see you at the end of the semester. The difference between a Tawab teacher and the non-Tawab teacher?
Yeah.
So a Tawab teacher would do what? Huh?
He would check up on him and say, yo, you did bad, give him advice and help him along the way. Give him everything and then help him too.
And if the shortcoming, if the mistakes keep coming, then call the parents. Give you detention. Increase the detention if you keep doing it. So exactly, this is exactly what Allah does. Allah doesn't create you and say, okay, here is the Quran, here is the teacher of your teachings of your prophet, and I'll see you in the day of judgment. I see you in the day of judgment. And then he leaves you.
There is
the portal. No. And this, try to use the black because it gives a better picture. Unless you want to highlight something. Do you understand? Allah will be following up with you. You make a mistake, Allah give you a taste. First of all, when you make a mistake, would Allah punish you right away?
No.
Allah give you a chance to
repent
and correct yourself. And remember that. I'm saying most likely. Huh? I'm saying most likely means there are exceptions. There are exceptions. Okay, that most likely Allah will give you a taste of Allah will give you a chance. So step number one, Allah gives you a chance to repent. That's step number one. Step number two, Allah will give you a taste of punishment for the wrong things you did. Why is it called just a taste of punishment? Because
it's like a small punishment.
Yes. The true punishment is where? The true punishment is where? In the hereafter. The true punishment is in the hereafter. Okay. Now, if Allah doesn't do that, then good people will keep making mistakes, and then at the end of the semester, which is the end of this life, and in the judgment day, they flunk. Allah flunks them.
Hereafter. Listen. Do it on your phone. I'm kidding. Guys, you're awesome. Hurry up.
Bad people are most likely are not punished. Most likely are not punishment. Most likely means there is a room for exception. Most likely they are not going to. Are not going to be punished by Allah. Are going to be punished by Allah. I'm sorry. Are going not are not going to be punished by Allah, to give them a taste of the punishment so that they get stopped. If Allah hates someone, really, Allah will make that person, Allah will make it easy on this person to do evil stuff and wrongdoers, the wrongdoings. So if you find a person who is in power, but he's doing wrong, then you know that Allah doesn't like him. Because if Allah likes him, Allah would have stopped him from doing these things. And again, most likely, exceptions exist. Okay. Okay. Now, let's take about an examples of punishments. Huh? Give me examples. Disease. You get a disease, you become ill. Huh? What else?
Maybe something bad.
What if you, like, die?
Car accident, but you're saved from it, you didn't die.
Shotgun.
Okay.
Shotgun.
Flunk class that you're taking in school.
That's bad.
Death of loved ones. Ones you love very much and they die. Okay? All these kinds of things are punishments. Okay. Now, there is a story in... There is a story in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 18. Surah At-Tawbah, verse 18, which is 9. This verse basically talks about what we are discussing. What we are discussing today, this story talks about what we're discussing today. What is it? What is it? The story is, there was a battle that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to fight. It's called the battle of Tabuk. The battle of Tabuk. The battle of Tabuk, also called the battle of hardship. Why? Because people didn't have... It was extremely hot, very, very hot, and people didn't have much. A lot of poor people. So Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to everybody, we're going to go for jihad, so let's get ready. And usually they get ready by camping outside of the Medina until... The total count of the army is full, and then they start, walking towards the battlefield. What if someone is late? Then that person will? No. Will this person who's late will just go fast with his horse, keeps going fast to catch the army. So... The conditions were very, very harsh. Very unbelievably harsh conditions. Okay. Now, people, when the Prophet asked people to go and to fight, there were four kinds of people. There were what? Four kinds of people. The first kind of people are the ones who are sincere. But sincere and have money. So those are the ones, the good ones, sincere and have money. Those are the good ones. Now, this is the first group. The second group were people that are sincere but don't have money. Sincere but don't have money. For those people who are sincere but don't have money, their story is mentioned in 992. Basically, Allah saying that when they came to the Prophet to ask the Prophet to go fight with him, what happened? The Prophet said, "I don't have extra money or extra animal for you to ride. So, I have no money to give you equipment. Then they became very sad and they cried. And they cried that they didn't have the money to go with the prophet. So this is the second group. Are the believers, sincere people, who are crying not to go because they don't have, the prophet has no resources to carry them or to admit them into the army. The third kind of people are hypocrites. People who are into hypocrisy, hypocrites. Those hypocrites made up excuses to the prophet, made up excuses. Fake excuses, not real excuses. Okay? And they say, even though they have money, they have the money, but they made what? False excuses. False excuses. They have the money, but they make false excuses. This is group three. And Allah talk about them in 993-96. Allah talks about them.